It's a longer section. I think I've sent it out to you already. It starts in Genesis chapter 30, verse 25. It goes to the end of the chapter. I think it's verse 43. So it's a fairly long section. We won't read all of that. And one of the questions that should be in the back of our mind is, what's this doing in here? Why all these details again? Why all these details? How is this going to help us? But we'll look at a few of the passages together. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 to 26. And the question I'm asking you is, why does he ask for his family? And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I've done for you. So he's asking, let me have my wives and children so I can leave. Why is he doing that? What can we glean from just those couple verses?
He's not coming back.
Well, he wants to leave and not come back. Yeah. Taking everything.
It's like cleaning out a bank account.
It's like cleaning out a bank account, yep.
He doesn't want to burn any bridges, maybe.
Pardon me?
Maybe he doesn't want to burn any bridges because maybe he wants to send one of his sons back to the same place to find a wife.
So that's why he's being open about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Why does he have to ask permission to leave?
Because he's working like a slave, I guess.
He's been kind of a paid servant, and so he kind of has to turn in his resignation. So why does he have to leave, ask for permission to have his wives and children? Dennis.
Well, he had agreed to work 7 years for each of his wives. And I know this is longer than the seven, but he had kind of an understanding of this.
Okay. So he's fulfilled his obligation, and he just wants it very clear. I don't know if he's looking for a document or just whatever, but basically saying, you agree, don't you? Seven is 14, and he can pull out his calendar and said, look, it's 14 years. I want you to give them in the sense of acknowledge that I'm free to go with my wives and children. Make sense? So.
Laban's grandkids.
And they're Laban's grandkids. Yeah, they're yeah. So, but the whole fact that he's had to work for them means he it was kind of an indentured service almost situation. He's wanting to be very clear. I fulfilled my part. Now, you fulfill your part formally and officially.
Hey, Drake, he says, send me away.
Yeah.
He's making a request of Laban. I'm not leaving and taking anything that isn't mine.
Yes.
You're sending me away.
Good, exactly. We're above board. You are, in doing that, you're recognizing you've fulfilled your obligation. You know, we're thinking of, say, for example, the military. If someone says, I'm going to serve you for 2 years, 4 years, whatever, they come to the end of that and they say, we made an agreement. I would serve you so many years. And you recognize I have served those years without too many problems. I want a full discharge here so that you agree and I agree. All obligations are met, and I get all the benefits that you promised me. And so yeah, he's just above board and saying we're done. Okay. So I would guess, and we're told, it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban. So I don't think he was necessarily waiting for Rachel to have Joseph. Well, he might have waited, until the birth if she was already pregnant. But in other words, I think this tells us we're at the 14-year mark. He's worked the 2 7-year periods. And so if you think about, well, how do you have at least 12 children? He had 11 boys and Dinah in 14 years. So I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but at the time of marrying Rachel, he'd already completed 7 years.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's what I was thinking. It wasn't exactly. So he has 7 years. But again, if you have four wives, If you're keeping four wives busy with putting out children, okay, you can still get 11 children in 7 years.
Well, didn't he get Rachel like after he fulfilled the week for?
Yes, the week of parting, but he didn't get Leah until after 7 years of work, then 7 days of celebration. Then he had Rachel, probably those 7 days of celebration and 7 years of work. So that period out there is done, and he has his children. Joseph is ready, I guess, probably to travel. He wants out of there. And especially, I think it's probably been that last 7 years were kind of bitter. I was happy to work 7 years for Rachel, but I got Leah. And so probably the last 7 years were a little difficult. Then it goes on in verse 27 to 30. And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." And then he said, "Name me your wages, I'll give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now, when shall I provide for my own house?" So tell me what you notice as you're looking at that section.
Laban's getting richer because of it.
And does he know that? Yeah, he's saying, you know, and notice he says, "And Yahweh, Jehovah, has blessed me for your sake." He recognizes that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a full believer in the Lord. He recognizes he exists and that he's, you know, but in other words, he may have his own gods as well. But he is saying, "Your God has blessed me because of you. I don't want you to go because you make me rich." Okay? So name your wages and I'll give it. Now, does that excite Joseph?
You mean Jacob?
Yeah, Jacob. Joseph's probably not too excited, I think you're right. He's probably, but you know, as I'm thinking, as soon as, what's my take on it, if I'm Jacob, is you squirrel.
Looks like you, Jacob is leery.
Yeah, and I would understand him being leery. You jerked me around these days and years. What's that? Yeah. What's that old thing? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so Jacob said to him, he makes it clear, "You know I have served you, how I've served you, and how your livestock have been with me. What you had," notice he says, "what I had before, you basically weren't doing it. You did not, you know, you, I came in, you were still a minor you know, dealer." Now you think about it, Abraham's flocks were vast, right? But he said, but here's Laban, who just hasn't been able to pull it off. He's been very poor in his dealings. Remember, we saw how his shepherds, they hang around at the well and skip stones or whatever until everybody's there. You can tell they're just not go-getters. Jacob comes and says, "What are you doing hanging out at the well? Water them and get out to the pasture." And so he has shown himself to be a worker, shown himself to be diligent, shown himself to be wise. But most importantly, he said, "The Lord has blessed you since my coming." He recognizes it's the Lord that did it. Now, when shall I? But when I think of that, I think of both Joseph and Daniel. Remember when they're called in to interpret dreams, they say, "You know, I don't have any special powers. It's the Lord." And so here, he's saying the Lord's blessed you.
The reality also is when he came there, he was probably the equivalent of an apprentice, right? Because he was an indoorsman. He was not an outdoorsman like his brother. So he may not have had as much skill with tending and farming.
So how much did he know? You know, he does seem more indoors. He was the one that was cooking the good meal, etc. Though I have to wonder if, you know, he knew how much he knew about his father's business. You know, he was anticipating taking it over. Was he maybe in Dory more, but still in management and knew how it's supposed to be done? I think, because he seems to know what he's doing when he arrives on the scene. But still, he's a good apprentice. In other words, he's sharp, but he's still a junior. Yes?
Do we really know that he was in Dorsey, or just that he wasn't the hunter who went off for long periods of time? Could he have been a manager of the flocks?
I guess we would say there's a big difference. If you were going to boast to everybody about how significant a person you were, if you were to choose between I'm a successful hunter and I'm a successful shepherd, you'd probably say shepherd. Great, you hang around with sheep all day. You're not out there hunting. So maybe in that sense, Esau was more the aggressive outdoor hunter wanderer. But Jacob seems to me that he was involved with the family business.
I think as a shepherd, you have to be a lot more aggressive because you're constantly in vigil for wild animals protecting your flock, unlike today and things like that, when you have so much more ease, when it comes to shepherding. So.
And you probably lived away from the home a lot.
Right.
And remember how David said, hey, I fought off wild animals with my bare hands. And, so you're right. I mean, there's a certain... and notice he didn't have problems lifting the stone off the well, doesn't have a problem wandering by himself 400 miles in the wilderness. So I don't think he was quite the softy that sometimes we want to make him. I think he was more trained outdoors in that sense. He wasn't the wander and hunt type.
But there is the recognition both from Laban and Jacob that the Lord's hand has been upon him.
Why would they? What is it they? Why do you think they're saying, as Cheju was saying, why are they noticing that it's the Lord doing it? What is it that make them both agree to that? And that's undisputed between them. They're both saying the Lord gets the credit.
It's above and beyond what would normally happen.
Okay, so that's one thing. It's the numbers coming in. Just the growth has been beyond expected.
And they're not dying. Healthy,
not die. Yeah. I often think farmers look kind of like, there's foxhole faith, and they say in war there are no atheists. It's hard for me to imagine someone being an atheist and a farmer because, you're so at the, you can have the best plan, buy the best seed, best fertilizer. If God doesn't send the rain, if God doesn't cause that seed to grow, you're subject to the weather. You hear about, sometimes these guys have worked and they've got a great peach crop coming in, a freeze comes through, gone, or citrus. And so, and when you're talking about healthy productivity of livestock growing, there's only so much you can do, and then it's the Lord. And so I think they can both see this is the Lord's been doing this. They're healthy. He's been diligent. He's been faithful. He's not been lazy. He's not been stealing or eating all the profits. But they have to say it. The Lord has blessed. And maybe other flocks around, everybody's saying, what is it with Laban's flocks? I wonder how many were saying, I wonder if we could hire Jacob.
I think Laban's trying to pull another fast one. He can't possibly believe he's found favor in Jacob's eyes. Hmm. Not after that deception. And then kind of sucking up to him by saying, the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now, tell me, what can I do to keep you here?
So you think he's probably just sweet-talking him?
Yeah.
Well, I think Jacob's turning it right around and going, yeah, you see how well I've done.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think hopefully Jacob is, let's see. But it does seem, it does seem like this is, if he is smart, now he's been with him for 14 years, not 40 days. He's probably figured out, keep your hand on your wallet when you're talking to this guy.
Well, I think Jacob can see what the what ability or what opportunity he has. Because the last thing you read was, provide for my own house. He started making money for Laban.
What happens if they don't go any further? What happens when he goes home? What does he take with him? Four wives, 12 children, and the staff he brought. That would frankly be kind of scary, wouldn't it? He would be back to zero. And so maybe he sees a chance, maybe there's a chance for me to build up some of my own, but now it's time for me to make a wage. So Jacob says, and so I make it a little easier. I put him in blue and
burgundy or whatever
to kind of distinguish the riders. So Jacob said, "What shall I give you?" You know, kind of like name your price. Well, what do you want? Jacob, I said, right? Laban. You've got to watch me on these things. I've even color-coded it. Blue guy says, "What shall I give you?" Burgundy guy says, Jacob said, You shall not give me anything. Does that remind you of anyone?
Abraham.
Talking to? King of Sodom. You got the right context. Abraham talking to King of Sodom. King of Sodom says, look, the rule is you rescue us, you get all the treasures that you rescue. And Abraham says, I don't want to touch your stuff. I don't want anyone suggesting that you make me wealthy. So you almost see the same standoffishness here. I don't want any, but also, can't you just here imagine that would be just another hook Laban would use. Wait, I gave that to you. So he's saying, I don't want anything. So there's no question. He says, here's what he said. If you'll do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that's not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it's with me. Now, the ongoing context makes it clear this is kind of abbreviated. I want to remove these, and then the future spotted, speckled, striped that are born, brown of the lambs, they'll be mine. Because there's no question. You know, you're not going to be reading tattoos that might have been forged or whatever. There'll be no question, does the goat have spots? Yes. Then it's yours. And so he says, I want to start by removing all those marked ones and putting them separate. They're your labels. So any new ones come up. And now let's talk genetics. It becomes evident that the spotted, speckled, that's genetically recessive, okay? Kind of like, I guess, blonde hair, blue eyes. You've got to have, both parents have to have that recessive gene combined together for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid to be born. And so in other words, there is within this white sheep some that can produce brown, but they have to, it'll be the combining of the two recessive genes. That makes sense?
So does that mean that the speckled ones can't make white, though, right?
I think
because they're both parents have it in order
kind of excessive. I think if a speckled crossed with a white, you could still get a white if there's no recessive in the white.
But Jacob's got all speckled, so he's not going to get any white ones because both of them.
Well, actually, what he is getting, he gets nothing, but then he's going to get those speckled ones. And so you're right. So maybe, yeah. So the white ones are very, they'll stay with the other. Yeah. Good point. Yes, I think you're right.
Can you explain who's getting the speckled and when?
So what Jacob is saying, guy in red is saying, I get all the speckled stuff, spotted, marked stuff. The new ones. The ones that are currently speckled, marked, spotted, I'm going to call them out, separate them from the flock. So I will only get the new ones. I will go through and pull those out, and then you get then only the new ones that come marked, speckled, spotted, those will be mine. Otherwise, he'd be taking some of Laban's sheep, and he says, I don't want to take your sheep or your goats.
So he didn't start with...
He starts with nada, zip, say,
verse 32 makes it sound like he's taking them.
Yes, but the context as we go on, I think that's kind of an abbreviated account, because then it goes on, and so there'll be no question, I don't want anything from you, I'm going to take these off. And so I think what happens next, notice what happens in the blue. So Laban said, oh, that were according to your word. He said, I like that deal. So he removed that day the male. So he, who? Well, I'll just tell you Laban. Laban removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, all the brown ones among the lambs, gave them into the hands of his sons. So he's gleaning them out. Now, what was the deal that Jacob suggested? Jacob said he would call them out. But Laban's calling them out. Why is that?
Because he wants to make sure he gets them all. He's
going to
give them his son.
I don't think, it's a whole, he doesn't trust, cheaters don't trust anybody. So he's going to pull them out. And then notice it says, then he put them 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob had the rest of, and Jacob was left with the rest of the flock. So what did he do when Laban took out all the marked ones? What did he do with them?
He gave them to his son, and then went far enough away that there's no way Jacob could be getting any of them back, or could start with
them. They would breed.
They're not just across a fence.
3 days.
There's no fence hoppers in here. 3 days, typically we're thinking 60, 75 miles away. So he is making absolutely sure, first of all, that he doesn't go pull some back. And second, there's no crossing over. He is working hard to make it. So he doesn't want any speckled. He's going to try and tighten up this deal.
Nothing to be any speckled coming from the all white ones. So he thinks.
Yeah. Or very rarely, yeah. So you see there. So the, you see, Jacob is smart. He recognizes we have a trust issue in our family, and so he says, "I'm going to make this so there's no question." This is before they had hair dye for lambs or whatever. There's going to be no question here. Whose sheep is what? First of all, though, you'll have all yours. Okay, take them 3 days away. Then there's no question. Any speckle that show up in this flock, they'll be mine. Right? Right. So you see there's an incredible lack of trust going on here. Right? So, just to, again, specify, so we understand what's really happening, sheep that are white are normal. I know that white doesn't look quite white, but dirty white. Sheep are normally white. That's the norm. So he said, if you get a brown sheep, you get it. So that's the dominant trait is white. Now here's another picture of, this is in Israel, a sheep dairy farm. Okay, they're milking the sheepies here. So sheep are white, normally. Now, goats are normally black or brown. This is actually from an article that they're reintroducing black goats into Israel. This is they're the native kind of goat. So they're all black. That's the normal, or brown. Here's some, I'll call these brownish goats. They're normal, okay? Forgive me if you don't like the term normal. Here's an Israeli flock of, notice, what color are the goats? This looks like they could be Laban's, doesn't it? Black and brown, they're normal. Here's this next one, this is actually the species called the Damascus goat. I'm not sure I like the word normal for this one. That is the weirdest looking creature you ever saw, in my estimation, but it's called the Damascus or Aleppo. In other words, it's a Syrian goat. Remember, this is all happening in Syria, so... I think that might actually, you can see show goats, Damascus goats, that look
as ugly.
I hate to use the word ugly for the goat lovers among us, who they might be some. I just say, I'm not so sure I want to call this one normal. I wouldn't call it pretty. Okay? So that's normal. But so you see, you would look at that and say, whose goat is that? Laban's, right? Black goat, brown goat, white sheep. Okay, so what is it going to look like if they aren't black or brown goats? Okay? Who gets these sheep? Goats. Jacob.
There you go.
Okay? Spotted. Who gets these? These are Jacob's. Spotted. No question, right? You can't say, which one? Who gets what? They're spotted. Okay? What are these? Jacob's spotted goats. Okay? So you get the sense these are spotted goats. Here's some more of them. So you can see they can be spotted brown, spotted black. But the spots say, whoop, those are Jacob goats. And again, these would all apparently be recessive genes. Here's another one. Now, could Laban argue on that one? No, everyone's going to come around and say, whoop, that's a Jacob sheep. That's our goat. That's the deal we made. Same with these. Would anyone question that these are spotted goats?
Well,
there's a couple there that may not quite make the goat category, huh? What do you call that goat on the left?
Dalmatian,
yeah. What do you call the goat here?
Pig.
It's a pig. That's an oinker. Okay. Yeah. Spot.
They got all the spotted ones out and took them away.
Yeah.
And so all Jacob had left to raise was white.
White lambs and then brown and black goats.
And so he was raising those for Laman.
Yep.
And when the whole thing was over, he would get all of these.
Mm-hmm. He'd get these.
Plus any spots here.
But the spotted ones would become Jacob's. And so I don't know if he left them among, which you might want to do, especially during the nursing time and all that. But then he probably started, having his own little flock over there and putting them. Well, actually, then if you read on the account, what's an interesting, if you read, we're not going to take the time, but it says what he does is he, how many have had a chance to look at the text? How many think any time in their life they've read Genesis 30? Okay. So, remember, what he does is he names certain kinds of branches, and he strips them so that they're like spotted and streaked branches, and puts them in a watering trough, and so he puts them in front of the sheep, anticipating that will help them produce spotted and striped goats and such. Does that remember that story? And so he's doing all that kind of thing. What effect did the spotted and streaked sticks have on the goats and sheep?
Probably none. God did.
Yeah, so why is the Bible telling us he did this?
Maybe the people who saw him do it, other shepherds or other people, decided that that's why the sheep turned.
They might have thought that. Yeah, some might have thought that's what explained it. Yeah. I'm guessing this goes right in there with... Go ahead, Barb.
I was just going to say, it's like he's using magic instead of praying and trusting the Lord, even though he had seen the Lord do a mighty work in raising up the sheep.
Have we seen anything like this happen already in this family?
Mandrakes.
I think it's the same thing. It's superstitious, wives' tales, and there are things like that. If the mother sees something when she's pregnant, then that's going to affect that. Or there's a whole stream of Darwin did his whole theory on how species developed based on what's called Lamarckian genetics, and that's, for example, why does the giraffe have the longer neck? Because the mother giraffe ate all the leaves that were low and kept stretching to get the higher leaves. Therefore, her child gets a longer neck because mom kept stretching. And you do that after many gestures, you get a long-necked animal. That's right in there with mandrakes and peeled sticks. But you know what? I actually had a teacher teaching me that in junior high. Anyway, but that's what Darwin believed. So that's how he explained how the species, that's why he felt change came from.
Yeah, wasn't there the interesting thing is that birds with a certain kind of beak, right?
Yeah, and so different circumstances would cause the beaks and subsequent. He did not know anything about what we call Mendelian genetics, where it's that's not that at all. It's more mutations and selectivity. But all that to say, Jacob was just trying to manipulate his circumstances using the wives' tales and superstitions of his time. Yep, that was.
Do you think he believed that wives' tale?
I think he did. So, what effect did the spotted and streaked sticks have? Goose egg. Zero. Nothing. But God was acting. And then it'll go on too, where he would choose the healthier species of the flock that he would do these things with. So at least he was getting that straight. You choose the healthier ones. And so he was doing all he could to manipulate the outcome. Laban was doing all he could to manipulate the outcome. And it doesn't say anything in here about him praying and trusting the Lord in the matter. And so, but that's kind of where we are in all of this. And so as we draw to a close, let me ask the question, what's the takeaway? What are we supposed to, we get almost 20 verses here. And there's miracles and prayers and sermons Jesus did that we don't know. What do we get out of
this? I think like 9/11, soon forgotten that God had, he says the Lord has blessed him through all this. And now he seems to have forgotten it.
Aren't they both doing? Because they're both giving the Lord credit. And so easy to say that, and then they get back to their own methods. And don't we all struggle with that sometimes? That on Sunday it's all Lord, Lord, Lord. Then Monday it's like, I took off my Sunday clothes and now I'm getting back to wheeling and dealing and trying to do it my own wisdom and my own way. I think that's a good point. Yeah.
When we read
deception
the story,
breeds deception.
Deception breeds deception.
I think even when we read the story, we can get all wound around the axle and strike some spots and how this is manipulated and all that. And it's like, the Lord bless Jacob. Set him away with a lunch. That's part of the point.
And you know what? Again, this is one of those things that points to the Bible being true. It doesn't cover up, you know, that he was trying to manipulate all these things through all these mechanisms that don't work. You know, so there's an honesty there. Where we were, if we were reporting that, we would kind of skip those sections here because it's kind of an embarrassment. What's he doing? Putting these, you know, these twigs and all in front and thinking that's going to help. But I do think, yeah, there's a warning here about trying to do it on our own. But did God bless Jacob? In spite of him, not through his silly means, but by his own way. And so there's another thing in here. Here is tricky Jacob, untrusting Jacob, and God's blessing him. And again, that's not a license to be disobedient or sloppy in our Christian living, but it's a testimony we could all have. You know what? Even when I didn't live as well as I should have for the Lord, I didn't trust as much as I should have, yet God still blessed. And that's God's grace. You know, it's grace is not we get what we deserve. It's God gets, we get what God gives out of his love and mercy. And so it's just a reminder of how God blesses in spite of us.
Well, and he kind of did that all through Jacob's trip down there to Laman to get the wife, and he didn't think Leah would be the right one. He wanted Rachel, but Leah is the person that Christ came.
Yeah, God working even sovereignly through those failings that here's mother of Judah and Levi is the one he didn't want. And so God using trickery and failure without putting evil in hearts, but able to use these evil people. Just like, again, the classic thing in Book of Habakkuk, when Habakkuk's saying, Lord, there's sin among your people. What are you going to do about it? He says, I have a great idea. I'm sending the Babylonians. And Habakkuk says, how could you use the Babylonians? They're wicked. Well, God doesn't make the wicked, but he can use the wicked. And so he's sovereign over these things. How does that work? Well, that's more than we can understand. But we see God and his grace controlling. Well, good. Keep thinking about that. And you might do an experiment. You know, if you're raising some kind of livestock, go ahead and peel those sticks and see what you get. One thing you might get is a sliver.